Open your Bibles, please, to the book of James. Book of James. This morning we'll be considering this subject, consistency, and how it is the true mark of Christian living. Consistency, the true mark of Christian living. One poet has written, "O consistency, thou art a jewel." Betty's dad once described one of her aunts as being the most even-tempered woman that he'd ever met. They'd spent about a week in the Phillips home and were on their way to Phoenix, and so they'd lived fairly closely in the small house where the Phillips lived. And Mr. Phillips remarked after some time, after they'd been gone some time, that she was the most even-tempered woman he'd ever met. She was mad all the time. So there was consistency there. And Betty will tell you that's a true story. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A man of two minds, that is, two souls, literally, is unstable, that is, not steady, inconsistent in every step that he takes. It seems to me that inconsistency is the primary problem with those to whom this letter has been written. We'll see these two thoughts that they have, this inconsistency, not only in the lives of the individuals, but we'll see some inconsistency within the congregation itself as an institution of God. They had problems with rich men and men of low degree. The rich believed themselves better in God's eyes than those who were poverty-stricken. But God tells us that they are both equal and both will die. But this was an attitude that was in the congregation. We'll look at chapter 1 and verse 9. "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away." And then the Bible teaches us that they were favoring or playing favorites, which we'll look at a little bit later. That is, they were respecting men in a different way. Their respect was one style of respect to the poor person, another style or way of respecting the rich people. So as a congregation, they were double-minded about people who came into the congregation. They had one attitude toward the rich, one attitude toward the poor people that were in the congregation. They also were double-minded concerning God as the source of their problems. Now, it's one thing to take responsibility for your own person, for your own problems, but when we blame God for our problems, there is a double standard there. There is a problem. The Bible tells us that blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, that's the proper attitude. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So there were people who were blaming God for the sins that they committed, saying, "God tempted me, and therefore God is responsible." But then God says, "I don't tempt any man to do evil. I do try people to test their faith, but it's not a temptation." And so there were people in the congregation who were looking at it the proper way, others who were looking at it as though their failures could be hung on God. Then in verse 22 of the same chapter, we learn that some were hearers of the word and some were doers of the word. And this occurred within the same person. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So there was not a consistency. There were those who did God's word, and there were those who only heard God's word. So within the congregation, there is an inconsistency. Now, as we study this, you'll see that this was creating not only problems within the congregation because they couldn't look at the same issues with the same understanding and therefore with the same consistency. There's no doubt in my mind that this inconsistency within the congregation also was destructive as to its testimony before the world. You know, it seems to me that to come into a congregation where one group believes that temptation, and if we are able to deal with temptation, then we can be stronger because God isn't tempting us to sin. And others are saying, well, I have problems, but it's God's fault. Can you imagine the kind of congregation that this would create? Some thinking it's God's fault, some thinking it's a test from God. So there is inconsistency, which leads to a very poor way of worshiping God. They also exalted the rich and despised the poor. In verse 6, the Bible tells us, you have despised the poor. This is chapter 2. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? Now, here's what was happening. When someone came into the congregation really dressed in what is referred to as gay apparel, which means it was very colorful, they got the seats that were the most considered the best seats, while the poor came in and they said, you sit over here or you sit there. So there was this inconsistency within the congregation about how do we seat people? Who gets to seat in the most prominent seats? Who gets to be welcomed? And then those who are simply set to the side without that kind of welcome. That's another kind of inconsistency, that is having respect of persons. The Bible tells us also that they were divided over faith and works. Verses 18 through 24. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So here people are saying, look, I know you have faith, but I don't see any real activity in your life. The other says, well, I have a lot of activity. And the guy's saying, yeah, but I don't see much faith in your life. So consistency is when we hear the word and do the word. But here these people were who caught up in a strong controversy over whether salvation or at least our work for God is whether it's by faith or whether faith is the mother of works or is works the mother of faith. Which is it? And that is another type of inconsistency they had. Here's what they said. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? The idea is, we're not going to talk about faith only. We're not going to talk about works only. There's an inconsistency in the congregation. What we need to decide is that it is by faith, and it is also the evidence of faith when we do the acceptable works of God. Ye see then, and this is the outcome of that argument, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. Now, the works justify us before men, while faith justifies us before God. And for our witness to count, we need to have faith toward God and works showing our faith so that men can see that we are what God wants us to be. Well, there was an inconsistency. Perhaps the inconsistency that was the most obvious inconsistency was that they were double-tongued. That is, congregation had within it people who were double-tongued. Let's look at verse 7 of chapter 3. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now let me help you to understand what's happening here. I know a lot of times that this is used as a weapon against gossip. I don't think it's talking about gossip at all. It might be a part of what they're talking about. But what they're talking about is the fact that men were wanting to be teachers when they had no reason, no real education in the sense of knowing the Word of God. Verse 3, chapter 3 starts with, "My brethren, be not many masters," that is teachers, "knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Now, the idea is this. They evidently thought, look, the teachers within the congregation, that is a really high honor. It's a great position for a person to have. And I rather suspect they're talking about their ordained personnel, not just Sunday school teachers and things of that nature, but someone who stood before the congregation and taught them the Word of God. And what he's saying is that comes with great responsibility, because when you're preaching and teaching, we offend all. That is, you teach the Word of God, there'll be a time when every member of the congregation will be offended one way or another. Or the strangers who come in to sit, they'll be offended. So think that this is not something that you want to get involved in unless you have a good understanding of the Word of God, because it can cause all kinds of trouble. So really what I think James is talking about is men or women teaching things that aren't true. And that creates problems within the congregation. And he mentions that we can tame animals, even birds and serpents and all of these things. They can be tamed. And they have been tamed by mankind and put into some particular use. But the tongue of a man or a person is, it's very inconsistent. You'll notice verse 8, but the tongue cannot be tamed. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now here's the inconsistency. And now we're not talking about saved people and lost people. What we're talking about is a congregation of people, and that there are people within the congregation and the congregation as such who produce and present an inconsistency. We all understand that that cannot be a blessing. And here it is. Therewith bless we God, that is with the tongue, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, that is, we wish evil upon them, which are made after the similitude of God. That is, they're made in the image of God, and we're asking God to bring His wrath down upon these people. It's the same tongue that does it. The same tongue curses humanity for treating you the way they do, while yet the same tongue blesses God for the good that you do, And he's saying, look, men are made after similitude or image of God. And I think they're talking about within the congregation. Chapter 3, verse 9 tells us that the mouth is inconsistent. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Now here's James, his summation of this whole thing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, when we consider lifestyle, not just what happens when we're here at church or whatever, probably the thing that destroys our witness, wherever we may be out in the world, is the inconsistency of our walk before them in this world. And I think James will show this to be true. In verses 11 and 12, illustrations are given of how this is not so in nature. That nature is not inconsistent, and therefore we depend upon it. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can you imagine Mammoth Springs, if you've been there, one of the larger springs, and on one day you're there, you take a cup and you get a drink of water that's just everything that we expect. But the next day you get a cup of water and it's so bitter and contaminated that it's undrinkable. How valuable would that be as a source of the waters that we need so much for our health and the well-being of our body? It has to be consistent. And he says this is an illustration of the disappointment that your lifestyle can bring to people. I remember an occasion when I was pastor at Forest City that we wanted to build an educational building. And someone got the idea that we would sell the concrete blocks like for a quarter apiece. We needed so many hundred. So I'll buy 10, here's my money. I'll buy 6, here's my money. And we were doing very well raising money. But someone got the idea that we'll just take this out into the city, into the town, and we'll go to the merchants and we'll ask them, you know, would you like to contribute and help us build our educational building? And would you like to buy 10 blocks or 20 blocks or whatever? And that raised some money. But then I had a call from a man who was the Buick dealer in the city of Forest City. And he said, Brother Penn, I just wanted to call and tell you how disappointed I am in you. And I said, how's that? And he said, well, since you've come to Forest City, I've seen you out on the streets working, visiting people. I've seen your men down at the building working at night in the cold, trying to remodel and get things comfortable for people. And he said, I understand that you need a new building, but he said, I see now you're just like every other church in Forest City. You want the merchants to either buy this or buy that, and we all have to do it or we'll be called unfriendly. We don't want you people to think that we don't care for you, but he said it's a business deal. And so rather than insult the person who came by selling me concrete blocks, I bought them. But I just thought you were different, and I'm disappointed in you. You wonder why I don't want our church selling things out in the city to the merchants so we can build a building? That's an inconsistency. And it was inconsistent of me. And I learned then we can do it. If we need it, we ought to do it. And I'm so thrilled to have the cooperation of our people. We didn't peddle anything to the city of Bryant. We asked God to help us, and God helped us, and you were liberal, and we're on the verge. We're ready to go. But it's the same way in an inconsistency in our personal lives. If someone is in trouble and you talk to them and they have confidence in you and they ask you for help, they ask you for information, they ask you to pray for them, to give them guidance, and then a little later you fail and you break that confidence and you're inconsistent, those people are going to be turned off by it, people. I'm not scolding you. I'm just asking you to consider the fact that as a resolution for 2011, let us be more consistent. Now, you say, well, that's me. Well, I have problems with that. I evidently have the genes that belong in the Sons of Thunder. And I get righteously indignant about a lot of things that I see and up with which I will not put. Okay. And then after I have expressed my opinion, I wonder, am I in a position to say, by the way, I'd love to have you come to North Bryant Baptist Church. I'm the pastor there. They'd think, I don't want to go listen to you if you're this cranky about everything. I mean, let's confess it, people. This thing here can get us in trouble and can be the problem that perhaps we're not aware of. So we need to understand that we need to be consistent in our daily walk. Listen also, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Well, the answer is no. What do you want from a fig tree? Well, if you like figs, you want figs. If you want olives, you want olives, but you don't go to the olive tree expecting to get figs or the fig tree expecting to get olives. Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water? Now, there's a need for salt water. So if you're salt water, just be salt water. If you're fresh water, just be fresh water. But be consistent in your lifestyle because that's important to people. And these are simply illustrations of what Paul was talking about. Well, what's the answer to this? You say, you've presented a problem. What did James write to these people as the answer for this problem of inconsistency in the congregation, the way it responds to people, individuals, how they respond to things? What is the answer? Well, the answer is in verse 13. The question is asked, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that is, a lifestyle, his works with meekness and wisdom. There's the answer. We must be wise and endued with knowledge. Without knowledge, we will never know how to apply wisdom, and without wisdom, we can never know how to do it without knowledge. Knowledge is good, but we need to know how to apply it. That's wisdom. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? The word endued means to fix one's mind upon something, to understand, to know how to do anything, and to know how to do it well. Which of you is wise and well instructed? Let him show, that is, demonstrate, out of a good conversation. That's a turning about or life mode of action, a mode of life. Meekness, that's mildness. Let him demonstrate his conduct and be guided by wise gentleness. Well, that's good advice. It's biblical advice. It's solid advice. It'll cure the inconsistencies of our lives because we will become mature. Well, how do we get wisdom? Well, it doesn't grow on trees. Wisdom, the kind of wisdom we need to live a consistent life, comes from God. Chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, if you want wisdom, don't go to God and pray, God, I know you can do this, but you probably won't do it for me, and be double-minded about it. You can't be, when you go to God and ask for something, make sure you're in the will of God, or it is well within God's will. Check it by the Scriptures, and if it checks out by the Scriptures, you can ask God for it, who gives liberally and never criticizes you for asking for it. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So a double man is unstable in every way of his path. If you're unstable, that is, if you're not sure, and you do not ask because the knowledge you have of God's word has given you faith, you're not going to get it. God doesn't say you just put in a dollar or put in the coins and there's the machine, and when you put in the right coins, hold your hand down here and that's where the candy bar will come out. We think that's kind of the way prayers are. We've been kind of taught that. Hey, whatever you want, ask God for it, then put in this and here it is. No. Check out what you're asking for by the word of God, then go to God with faith that he will respond, and when he responds, then you will receive. So double-mindedness, it's a state of confusion. State of confusion. So we need to be solid, and we need to be stable as a congregation in the way we treat people, the way we talk, the way we walk, and also in our individual lives. Let's stand and sing, please.